And I'm not going to be Pastor Chris. Bishop. And, but first of all, can we just give the Lord some praise? Come on, church. Come on. Stand on your feet and give the Almighty God some praise. Hallelujah. We celebrate you, Father, tonight. Celebrate what you are going to do, what you have done. We celebrate the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So we thank you tonight. We thank you tonight. I want to give honor in the house also to Pastor Chris. This is a true man of God that has a heart for people. Have a heart for people. There are many pastors, hear me, there are many men that are meant to speak, and they may have the word of wisdom or knowledge and they can give, but when you have a man that has the heart, and here's the key, seasoned. He's not just fresh, new into this. He's been seasoned with the word of God. I thank God for this man, especially on Wednesday nights that he's been pouring into us so mightily that we've just been taking the word and eating it. So I thank you for him. And can I ask something of you guys? Pastor Chris and I will be away this weekend. We are going to Fremont, Ohio, to our church. Our spiritual mother and father, Bishop Gary Lynn Clowers and Sister Lydia Clowers, they are spiritual parents in the Lord, and they have been since we started this ministry. And we could not do it without a covering. They speak into us. And we thought we were going up to be spoken into, which we are. We're going to spend that day with them on Saturday, and just it's a reciprocal. They give unto us, we pour back into them. Amen. And ministry is not easy, y'all. We need one another. We need each other. We need support. And so we will be up there. First of all, pray for this man. He'll be ministering Sunday morning at Fremont, Ohio, to the Family of God in Family Worship Center Ministries International. And that God will just bless him and give him the word, give him the freedom that he has to say what he needs to say. And the second part of that is come and support here. I know so many people, when we are away or when ministers are away, oh, I don't have to come because the pastor's not there. Listen, we need your support here in the house when we're away, knowing that the people of God are receiving. God has raised up men and women of this house who can speak. So come and support the man of God that's going to be speaking Saturday night. And basically, that's what I have to say is we all have something to give. So you being in the house has something to give, whether it's from this team, whether it's she gets the water, gets the microphones, amen, whether you greet somebody, say hello, you provide food, we all have something to give. I implore you to be here Saturday night with the intention to bless and to give, amen. I don't have a whole lot I was going to say. But I think what I have to say is what God has given me. And when I said it's not easy being a pastor, you can't just, I mean, you can. God is that gracious. You can open up the word and he can give you anything. Amen. But you want what God wants you to give. You wait on him. You don't just nilly-willy just, you know, write stuff down. Although God can use that. I'm not knocking that. God can use any minister or oracle at any time to stand up and give a word, you know, but sometimes it takes preparation. You don't come and take a test or you don't take your driving test without practicing and knowing what you have to do. Amen. You don't. And I think I know with Pastor Chris, but with my heart, I don't want to lead or say or do anything that would hinder. Amen. Or put a roadblock. I want what God would have to say. So I am here to tell you tonight that everything you need, listen, everything you need is in your house. Everything you need is in your house. What am I saying? It's in you, church. And this was so beautiful for tonight because I seen it operating tonight. We were going to one another. Amen. Jeff, you have it. Mimsy, you have it. Mary, it's in you. You have what the Father has given you to give and give out and to bless somebody. I wanted to go to, I'm not going to be into a lot of scriptures like Pastor Chris. I have a few. But my main one is in 2 Kings. I need my glasses. You all know this about the woman of Zarephath, and she was a widow, but I want to begin 2 Kings 4, beginning at verse 1. It says, one day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, my husband who served you is dead. And you know how he feared the Lord, but now a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons. Did you know, I didn't know that when I was studying this. In Bible times, did you know if you owed a debt or you owed a creditor, they can come and take your family members as slaves to work off your debt? Could you imagine that happening today? Like if you got behind on a payment or... You got behind on your car. You're not taking my baby girl. No. But they would take members of your family. Her husband had just died. Okay. But I wanted to encourage you. The widow knew where to go. And the widow knew who to go to. She went to Elisha. Yes. And that was God's prophet at the time. And here we find a pastor's wife. It says right there, a widow of the member of the group of prophets. She was a pastor's wife. She was a person of influence. But here she found herself in a predicament. She was desperate. Amen. Her husband died. She had no income, and she was left in debt. Okay? Listen, we can find ourselves sometimes in this situation where we find ourselves destitute. When we find ourselves desperate, amen, when we find ourselves in a place where, God, what are you going to do? Yeah. I need to hear from you. Yeah. She needed to hear from the word, yeah, from the prophet. But I hear also in this, I hear a little bit complaining. My husband who served you, and didn't you know he was a person of the Lord? We think we're entitled because, oh, I've been serving you, God, for all these years, and a little bit. Sometimes we complain. The root cause of complaining is when a person feels like they are not getting what they deserve. When we feel like we don't get what we deserve, we complain about it. We want to stir up, okay? And she said, my husband served the Lord. Now we are destitute. So she thought she deserved this. I don't deserve to be in this situation. But listen, it's a training. It's training for all of us. Because listen, we will find ourselves sometimes in desperate situations and desperate needs. Do you have a family? Do you have finances? We all do. And I can tell you not one person in this church maybe have not struggled one time in their life. Or maybe had at the bottom of the barrel and didn't know where your next income was going to come from. Maybe not knowing if your child was going to come back to the Lord or not. Listen, these are desperate times. And desperate times cause us, I hope, to get in the Word of God and say, God, what do you have to say about it? What do you have to say, Lord? And I am here to tell you we can all relate. We can find ourselves in difficult times. And this is what I'm talking about. Sometimes, see, you like the little glasses up there? Sometimes, you know, who wears glasses? Sometimes you have to do that and then forget where they are. Anyway, sometimes we can relate and we can be faced with a crisis. Do you know in a moment, and I don't want to speak over anybody or anything, but sometimes things happen. There may be an unexpected death in a family. Could you imagine if something like that happened, you know, especially to a widow? Yep. Come on. friend that has two kids. This is a story in the Bible, but it can relate to us because we can lose our job. We can be faced with situations in businesses, our families. Listen, we can get an addiction. We can be faced with things that just overwhelm us. Listen, church, find support. That's what she did. She went to the man of God. She found support. There are people that are going to support you through your times of need. You don't need to run to the person that says, well, I told you so. And you need to just get over it. I lost my husband too. Or, you know, you don't need to hear those words at that time. You need to run to the house of God. You need to run to the prophet. Amen. Or the prophet that is in with you saying, I have everything that I need is in my house. Let me dig out of the well that is within me. Hallelujah. But she went to the man and she found support. Amen. Resist. This is key here. So if you don't hear it, resist the temptation to withdraw. Because that is a tendency in all of us. I know with me sometimes when I go through a situation that is overwhelming, sometimes I want to pull away and I want to withdraw from the people of God. That, listen to me, is a tactic of the enemy. Do not withdraw. Run to the house of God. Run, because there's strength in numbers. Hallelujah. And I don't care. You may be going through the hardest time of your life and sitting here, but you can still say, God, you're good. I love you, Lord. Sing the worship. Hear a word. Amen. You might not even hear the whole sermon, but you may hear, I am for you, not against you. Amen. So I'm here to tell you, do not resist that temptation to draw away and to hide in your own little world. Listen, we do that. We do that. But I'm here to encourage you. Come together in the body of Christ, because there's more that is within you. Hallelujah. If there is anyone here tonight that knows, I feel like this woman was in a rut. You ever feel like that? Like, I feel like she was in a rut. She found herself like, you ever hear that saying? I'm just in a rut right now. I don't know what to do. I'm in a rut. I'm in a dark place. I'm in a hole. I don't know how to get out of this situation. I don't know what to do, God. But you know who to go to. And I believe, is there anyone here tonight that has felt like they've ever been in a rut? I've been there. What, you know what? It might be a financial rut. It might be a health issue. Family issue, business, okay? And we find ourselves in these deep, dark times, okay? A place where you feel stuck, hopeless, helpless. And listen, this place is a terrible, it's frustrating, it's irritating, okay? You feel hopeless. You cannot sometimes feel like you can dig your way out of it. It's a rut. But God has given us the strength. Because everything we need is right here. It's in you. What am I saying? It's in you. Being in a rut will cause you to lose sleep. It might create worry, anxiety. I know a lot of people that are on anxiety medicine because they're worrying about so many things. You know, God did not cause you, and He does not put worry on us. We put worry on ourselves because we don't go to God with the big stuff and the big problems and even something little as a financial issue or an issue over here. Take it to God. Amen. Take it to Him. Irritable and you can't find a way out. Listen, do all you can to get out of that. Because you know what? If you don't get out, it will eventually rob you of joy in life. If you stay stuck in that pit, like I was saying Saturday, stuck in the pit of despair, it will rob you of your joy. It will rob you of life and who you were really created and meant to be. It will rob you. Amen. But listen, the enemy wants you to stay there. He wants you to stay in that pit. He wants to separate you from your brothers and sisters in Christ, from the church, from your family even. He wants to separate you. do everything you can to resist. Like our sister said tonight, get behind me. You can't have it. Not today. Not today. Satan, get behind me. That's why Jesus knew who he was. He had to say, get behind me. Because things will come right here and try to tell you who you're not. And try to call you who you're not. But Jesus knew who he was. Know who you are. Because people, when you know who you are, you're not going to get stuck in that rut. You may be hopeless in a situation sometimes. You may feel like, how am I going to pay this huge tax bill or mortgage bill or whatever it may be? No, God is your strength. Settle all things. I know we have learned when we are faced, especially with a financial issue, that's just, I mean, it's taken us a while. When we were first married, we fretted more, but we learned to give it to God. We're like, God, this is it, what's in my bank account, and this is what I owe, and it's in your hands. And no matter what, we trust in you. And even though it hurts, okay, listen, to maybe give that last 20 or that last 50 or whatever it is, we do it anyway. Because that's what God has commanded us to do. We listen for his voice and say, you know, go ahead and give it. Don't worry about this. I'll take care of this. And 100% he will meet your need and he will take care of it. Amen. Learn to trust in him. Hallelujah. Learn to trust. Amen. Yeah. I hate these glasses. On and off. But that's where we find this woman of Zarephath in a very desperate situation. And she's trying to raise her family alone, her boys, and her husband died, leaving her with a mountain of debt. The creditors and bill collectors showed up, threatened to take her sons. Can I just say, bills will mess with your mind. Bills will mess with your mind. Sometimes even more than the smaller things. Than a health issue or, you know, that still messes with you. But nothing messes with your mind more than a financial issue. And you fret about it and you worry about it. And it will put you in a rut, in a place of despair. But hold on, church, because what you have is in you, is in you. She cries out to the man of God, Elisha. And I want you to go to verse 2 with me. If she still has it up there. It says, he says, what can I do to help you? This is what Elisha is saying. What can I do to help you? Elisha asked. Tell me, what do you have in your house? Woo! What do you have in your house? He's putting it back on her. What do you have in your house? Karen, what do you have in your house? Pastor Chris, what do you have in your house? Melissa, what do you have in your house? And listen, this is what she said. Amen. She said, nothing at all. Except a flask of olive oil, she replied. God will take whatever you have. She thought, listen, it started out, she thought she had nothing to give. Because she even said, I don't have anything. There's nothing in my house. I don't have anything. I am here to tell you, us, hallelujah, this is how we look. I don't have anything to give. I have sat here sometimes and not prayed. Hear me, church, because I felt like I had nothing to give. I felt like, who am I? You know, and like, you ever been there? You feel like, oh, but I can't pray like Pastor Chris. I can't get up here and preach like that man and girl, sister of God. I can't do that. I don't have anything. We find ourselves saying, I have nothing. When God says, you have everything you need because you have a little bit of oil. It may be this much, but you still have something to give. So he was challenging her, what do you have? What do you have in your house? Tell me what you have. She says, nothing but a jar of oil. Do you know what the oil represents? Anointing, the Holy Spirit. Church, he can use anybody with just a little bit of oil. a little bit of oil overflowing. Hallelujah. Jeff, he can use that little bit of oil, that anointing oil that is flowing out of your life to touch somebody. I never in my, I'm giving away my age, 51 years of walking and being here on this earth, have I ever seen a nation that is struggling and in trouble. And we have what they need. Church, we have. I've been to Walmart and people are just, can I say it? They're rude. They're mean because they feel like they have nothing. They're there to get something for themselves. Amen. Listen, if we would just stop and listen to what people need. I knew a sister the other day. She lives in Georgia, Tennessee, out that way. And she was in line at the big store, and I don't even remember the store's name. And, I mean, it's down south, so it's a different Piggly Wiggly or Miger or whatever, Miger, I don't know, whatever that name is. And she was talking to the person in front of her, and she's like, I just lost all hope. My husband died, and I don't even want to go to church. And Candace, the girl that shared the story, she said, I just started pouring out what was in me because I know what she's going through because I lost my father. She lost her father. So she knew, and she goes, but I lost my father, but I'm here, and I'm still pushing through, and I still love people, and I love God. And she goes, how can you love God? Don't you just blame God? No, I don't blame God for taking my dad. I love God no matter what, because I know he's with him. And before it was all said and done, she was able to minister to that woman in the name of Jesus. Listen, we just have to be available and give what we have. It may be a word, Liza, that says, I'm praying for you. I love you. Amen. Sister, you got it. You can come through anything. Do you know what a little bit of oil, anointing can do? A little touch can do? There's some people that aren't ministered to, touched. They live by themselves. And just a friendly smile can shake their day. Hallelujah. Do not forsake the moments. Be aware. Be very aware of what you are going, what's your surroundings, even at your work. Amen. And you might be piled on this and you have a workload and people are coming at you. But listen, you can change the whole atmosphere because the oil is in you. Just like our brother prayed tonight, the oil that flows down, it's touching each and every one of us. What do you have in you? A little bit of oil? Good. Because God can take that little bit of oil. Hallelujah. There's a miracle in your house. Hallelujah. There's a miracle, church, in your house. How many here believe there's a miracle within you? We don't want to believe that, though. Because all we want to believe is nothing. I don't have anything. I don't have nothing. Yes, you do. You have everything you need because the great all I am is within you. Look at Moses. He didn't think he was anybody, right? What should I say? Who should I tell him? Send me. The great I am. You go in the power that I give you and you tell him the great I am has sent you. It wasn't Moses. It was the great I am within him. It's not you. It's the greatness within you from our Father. In you is a miracle that you need. It's all in you. Some need a miracle in finances. Some need a miracle in their health. Some need it in their families. A miracle with a lost child that is running from God with a business or at work. A miracle in deliverance with addiction or habits. The miracle is in your house. Hallelujah. And there is a miracle in every person, a miracle in every circumstance. I wanted to bring this story to the 5 loaves and 2 fish. We all know the story. They already had what they needed. All they had to do was give it. Amen. They already had it. Matthew 14, it says, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They answered. And Jesus said, bring them here to me. Bring them to me. And what did Jesus do? He blessed them. And they multiplied. And they were able to give to those 5,000 and plus. Amen. And they were able to fill everyone that was there. everyone. And they even had leftovers. So the little lad, here, this is what I had. Amen? What do you have? God asked Moses what was already in his hand. You all know. What was in Moses' hand? A rod. And he said, use it. And the Lord said unto him, what's in thy hand? And he said, a rod. He already had it. The rod that was in his hand opened and parted the Red Sea. So God will use whatever you have, church. And I'm here to say, like, I could hear you questioning, like, what do I have? I don't know what I have. Listen, if you could cook, give. Maybe you can take it to a person that is shut in that needs something. If you can sing, sing. Hallelujah. Whatever you have, give. We need to search our hearts and say, what do I really have within me? And just begin to start walking it out. Amen. Walking it out. Well, I don't know what's in me, but I'm just going to begin to start declaring the scriptures and start declaring and believing my house for a financial breakthrough and a miracle. It's in your house. We have the power within us. Don't we? Amen. It's in our mouth. Here's one other. Jesus told Peter, he told him to cast a net that he already had, that he had just got done mending. He told him to cast it on the other side of the boat. And it's found in John 21:6. And he said unto them, cast thy net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Peter had a miracle within the net because he already had the net. We just have to listen from the word of God that was in us. Hallelujah. And I believe the key, most likely, the miracle you need or want will not come from the creation of something new. Can you hear me? But I believe it will come from the multiplication of something that we already have within us. It's not going to come from the outside. Like God's going to just drop something from heaven, a miracle in our laps. It's going to come from within us. Because listen, we are a people that are following after God. You are sitting in churches. You are worshiping. You're praying. You're reading your word. It's in you. And I think, my personal, that if you really knew what was in you, if we really knew what was in them. And did you ever give to someone and you felt more blessed than they did? Can you remember a time you maybe had your last $20 and you needed it for your tank of gas, but you decided to hear from God and to give that little portion to someone else because they might have needed it just a little bit more, or who knows? God told you to do it. Do it. And you felt so much better. You're like, God, thank you. You didn't give because you had to. You didn't give because somebody's saying, you better give to that person. You give because you listened to the Holy Spirit within you, the oil that is flowing within you, and you just gave it out of your heart. And you were so much more blessed because of it. That's what God wants to show us. The more that we give out to one another. It may be someone in your chair at her business, and she just says, oh, I'm just going through a lot today. Several months ago, I was there, and this woman just lost her son, and she was crying. She was broken. But I said to Mary said to me, we're just going to lay hands and pray over her. I don't know where her walk was with God. Did I care? No, because we listened to the word of the Lord and said, pray and give what we have, the strength that we have within us, give. And where's my phone? I had to write this down in my notes because I didn't write it down in these notes, but it was another scripture that God had given me. So, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And this is give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaking together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount that you give will determine the amount you get back. Hallelujah. For with I don't like the version, but anyway, for with the measure you use, it will be measured and given back to you. But basically what I was trying to say, because there was a couple versions I was reading there, is give and it shall be given unto you. Give, give, give. You cannot outgive God. I believe this scripture can take, you know, for monetary, you know, give your tithe and offering. But I believe it can be used, give out of what you are. Give and it shall be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together. Running over. Hallelujah.
Pastor Chris, hold this. Come here.
I'm waiting for this.
Are you done with that?
Yeah.
Oh. But this represents us. This represents us. Hallelujah. Sorry.
This represents us. Although it's not filled, we should be filled and being continually filled. As we wait on Him, be filled up. Listen, pour it out. Pour it out. And you know what God will do? God will fill it back up.
Yes.
Fill it back up. I believe, ooh, I feel God in this because, listen, I believe as we fill up with God and we're here on Wednesday and we're here on Saturdays and we're praying at home and we're waiting on the Lord and we're getting filled up, hallelujah, and then we pour it out. We pour out our blessings. We give to one another. And what? God fills it back up again. Sometimes churches don't have anything to give because they're not allowing themselves to be filled up. And most importantly, or they fill themselves up, but they never let it out. If you do not let it out, you can't put no more in. You cannot pour any more in. Let out what God has given you. Let it out, church. Let it out. Hallelujah. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Realize that someplace in your house, your life is the beginning of a miracle.
Amen.
I love that. Realize that in your house is a miracle waiting to happen. I want us to wake up each day. As I was studying this, I need to be more like, what do I have within me? What do I have to give? Hallelujah. That we should wake up and say, God, I want to give something out today. I want to bless the socks off to somebody. I want to give to somebody. I have, Father, thank you. I have abundantly, but I want to give, give, give. I feel like if we are a people that give, we can shake up, shake up. Hallelujah. Shake up this nation. Shake up our surroundings. Shake up our town in the name of Jesus. Because they'll say, oh, that church just gives. They just love. They're willing to meet the need. Hallelujah. They love to give. They love to bless. Hallelujah. People know it. Do you know people watch us? They know it. Whether you're walking on the street, in the store, on your job, no matter, people are watching you. So we need to be people of excellence and giving out of the storehouse within us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I won't be very much longer. These are just a few keys. One, do not limit God. Don't limit God of what He can do. What do you have in your house? Nothing denotes sometimes we don't see what we have. And don't limit God, because if you have just a little bit of oil, a little flask of oil, God can use it. The potential in what we do have and what is in us, we need to recognize that. Except a little oil. That little oil was the beginning of her miracle. Was just the beginning. Hallelujah. In Kings 4:3, and it says, and Elisha said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and the neighbors. Go get the empty containers, the empty jars. Go get them. As many as you can find, get them. And I believe they went out in their neighborhood and community and got every empty vessel they could find. Hallelujah. And it says, go ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for a few. All the empty jars. Hallelujah. And what happened? It says, then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Hallelujah. Shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jar, setting each one aside when it is filled. So what did she do? They went in, shut the door. Do you know shutting the door spoke to me today? Of shutting out all the negativity and all the voices that want to say that you don't have anything. Shut out the voices. Sometimes we, you know where else I remember that scripture? When you go into your prayer closet, shut the door. Shut out the negativity and the people sometimes that want to say, do you really have anything to give? You were just through that situation, and I know you don't have a lot to give. Shut the door on people's negativity. Amen. And you take those empty jars and you fill them. And when that one's filled, you set it aside and you fill the next one. Can you see your oil just beginning to multiply? What you have, what you start out with, just a teeny bit, it will multiply more and more and more and more. And you fill up all those empty jars. You fill them all up. And then, what was she told after she filled up the jars? Go in, shut the door, fill up your vessels, fill up the jars, setting each one aside when filled. So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after the other. Soon every container was full to the brim. Bring me another jar, she said to one of her sons. There aren't any more, he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left. She had more than enough. She didn't just fill one or two. She was able to listen to the man of God. She was able to take those vessels and she sold them. And she was able to pay off all her debts. And everything that she had left over was more than enough that she needed. More than enough. Church, I'm here to tell you, don't stop giving what you have. Listen, just like I did that as an analogy, God is filling you up. Pour it out. Keep pouring it in and pouring it out. You will have so many vessels to bless. You will have so many things to give out to one another. Hallelujah. They will bless. The amount of oil would only be limited by the number of containers. Amen. Do not limit God. Only we can limit God. Hallelujah. Only we. And expect abundantly. Expect abundant. Bring what you have to Jesus and watch what happens. I asked Kristen. She has many pencils in her room and art supplies that I borrowed. But I hope I do this. But there was a pencil maker. And he took this pencil. And before putting it into the box, he told the pencil, there are five things you need to know, he told the pencil. Before I send you out into the world, always remember and never forget them, and you will become the best pencil that you were created to be. So the first one, you know what it is? You will be able to do many great things. But only if you allow yourself to be held in someone's hand. This pen can't do, or pencil, cannot write or do anything unless I pick it up and use it. Allow yourself to be held in the master's hand, used for his purpose. Number two, you will experience a painful sharpening. See the sharp? You will experience this from time to time, but you need it to become better. You will go through times of hardness. You will go through times of hurting times. But God says when you sharpen it, when you bring that before him, he will make it better. Do you ever get to a dull pencil when it just doesn't write the best? I like sharp pencils. Amen. The painful experiences you go through make you stronger. They make you who you are to be. Three, you will be able to correct any mistakes that you make. And that's why you have this little part on the pencil. It's an eraser. And if you are doing with a pencil, when I make a mistake, you can erase it. That's how God is within us. He gives everything we need in one vessel. Everything is here that we need. And when we make a mistake, He comes to us. He easily forgives us. He picks us up, puts us back, and says, go, give again. He doesn't say, oh, well, you're just trash and I might as well throw you away. No. He says, God, He will help you. He will forgive you. And He will correct any mistakes we make. Sometimes people are fearful to give and give what's within them because they're fearful of making a mistake. Well, what if God did? What? Listen, you can't make a mistake with God. You cannot. God is almighty. And number four, the most important part is what's inside. It's what inside. It's this piece inside that goes in the pencil, the lead. That is the most important part. All these things are unique. It's part of the pencil, but what's inside? Always remember what's inside of you. God in you is your strength. You can do nothing apart from Him. And five, on every surface you're used on, you must leave your mark. No matter what the condition, continue to write. And I know sometimes, you know, you ever written on things that aren't so easy or smooth to write on. Keep writing. God says, keep writing. I'll make those places smooth. Amen. But the good news is that God can use us in any situation. Amen. So would you stand with me? I know. Anyway, I'm going to give God all the glory, not like we just said, because God can use anybody. God can use any one of us to share His word, to share a message. I am here tonight to encourage you, whatever you have within you. If it is just a hug, to hug somebody, do it, church. If it's just to say hi, I know this man right here, he's so full of joy, and he just loves to give out of that joy. Do it, because somebody needs that joy. Amen. If it's providing the pastor water, she does it, and she doesn't complain. Amen. Singing with all your heart. Give, and it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. I wanted to give one other scripture, and then I'm all done. But I believe this was how Jesus gave, that He gave us an example. And when He got up in the temple and He began to speak, and He said, He has given us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, amen, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of spirit of despair, that they will be called trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, and a display of His splendor. Listen, Jesus taught us to give. If somebody's broken, give. Recognize it. Bless somebody. Bless somebody. Give what you have. Give the little bit of oil that you have. In the name of Jesus. Pastor Chris.
Man, tonight, come on, let her know. That was a good word. Wow. One thing. I was sitting in my office and I said, God, Lord, what do you want to say tonight? Because I want to tell them that I've given every one of them a measure of faith. I didn't know what she was preaching. I never mentioned that whenever I was there. But I was sitting there. God says, listen, I told you. I want them to know they have a measure of faith. And that measure of faith, God says, He wants to add to it. Faith upon faith upon faith upon faith. Amen. So let's bless the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory. We give you praise. You are almighty. Hallelujah. You are ever present with us, God. So we give you glory. We give you praise. And we will come back to this house. Hallelujah. With being rivers. Hallelujah. Flowing out of this place, God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen.